Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Foreign Correspondents Club. I'm Keith Bradshaw with the New York Times, and I'll be your host today on behalf of the professional committee at the club. Before we get started, please, everybody, turn off your cell phones, your Blackberries, whatever. We do now film all of these and put them up on YouTube, and it's really a nuisance for people if somebody is saying something particularly interesting, or if it's Larry, if he's got a particularly good joke going, and then it gets blotted out by, the punchline gets blotted out by somebody's beeping phones. Please, all of you, check your phones. Next, I'd like to tell you just a little bit about some of the upcoming events we've got. So tomorrow we have at 6 p.m., it's a drinks and snacks event. We don't do that very often, but it is a panel on how to stay safe in dangerous places as a journalist. So the title is A Deadly Profession, How to Confront the Dangers of Modern Journalism. We have three very good speakers on that. Anybody here who thinks they might be in a war zone or even has a possibility, you probably want to come to that, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Then coming up on the 13th, next week, we have Michelle Davis. If you've seen the movie, the HBO movie, Too Big to Fail, based on Andrew Ross Sorkin's book, she was the press secretary to Hank Paulson, trying to figure out how to explain the initiatives they were taking during 2008 to rescue the U.S. financial system. Coming up after that, we've got Zhang Xin, who is the chief executive of Soho, one of the largest Chinese real estate companies. She's going to be speaking on the 15th. And finally, we have Lord Peter Goldsmith, author of the Goldsmith Report, very prominent lawyer. He's coming here from Britain, and he will be speaking on the 19th. With that, I'd like to introduce our speaker for today. I think Larry Lipscher is probably better known here than almost any other speaker. He comes almost every year, and he seems to pack the house every year, which is either a testament to his harmonica playing or else to just how the IRS can't stop changing our tax code. But at any rate, he's always a hit, and with that, I'll give you Larry.
Wow, what a crowd. Contrary to what Keith has said, turn on your phones. I might be boring, in which case, start imagining how many calls are going to interrupt my speech today, and whoever comes closest gets an IRS audit. Actually, I want to thank two people in particular for bringing out a crowd like this. Firstly, Keith is the only American member of the professional committee which determines who's going to speak here. And every year, he patiently answers the question, are you sure an American talking about taxes will fill up the joint? Look around, you folks. This is testament to the IRS. Secondly, I would like to thank Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican of Iowa, who in 2006 single-handedly changed the whole system and started a succession of year-by-year-by-year changes necessitating my speaking every year. But just so you don't think that I'm partisan, let me also mention Senator Carl Levin, a Democrat of Michigan, who last year I awarded my annual Golden Glass Naval Award because his ideas are so far-fetched, naive, and downright dumb, and his head is stuck so far up where he cannot see the light of day that he needed that glass naval to see straight. Have I set the record straight? I'm bipartisan. Okay. Now we're going to start off with something. Last year, everybody said, Lipscher, you started off singing. What the hell are you going to do for an encore? I'm going to play accompaniment this time. I've played the harmonica. I've used the microphone. I've never done the trio of the harmonica, microphone, and PowerPoint. So let's see how that goes. Thank you. Good. We've started off with a laugh because, quite frankly, we don't want to cry about what the IRS is doing. A couple of ground rules. I'm here through the 2 o'clock period at which this function formally ends, but long after, as long as you have questions of me, I'm here, whether it be upstairs here or downstairs in Burt's or anywhere in the FCC, as long as you have questions, and some of you might want to go one-on-one, not in front of the public. I'm here to answer. I don't guarantee they'll be right, but I'll give you an answer, okay? Second thing, I'm not going to talk about FATCA, the Foreign Accounts Tax Compliance Act. We've done that the past couple of years. I'm not going to talk about FUBAR, not FBAR. You cannot pronounce F and B unless you have a vowel in between. And quite frankly, FBAR is far more FUBAR than you'd ever appreciate. But if you ask questions about it, yes, I'll speak about that then. What I am going to speak about primarily is the brand spanking new Form 8938, Statement of Foreign Financial Assets. The IRS technically approved this form for distribution on November 17, 2011, only they didn't issue it until December 21st in conjunction with a 10-page set of instructions. Actually, 9 pages of instructions and 1 page of a very beautiful index, until you started looking at that index and trying to find something that was vital, and it wasn't there. Will it ever be there? I don't know. It's a convoluted form. It's a convoluted set of instructions. But you're gonna have to look at it, because the chances are you are going to have to file it. The IRS claims at the end of its set of instructions that it will take 1 hour and 5 minutes to complete this form. I don't care if you are on methamphetamines or coke or what have you. There ain't no way in hell you are going to finish this form in less than 3 or 4 hours. Make note of that. There was no quality control in review of the instructions. Ain't no way possible to do this form in 1 hour and 5 minutes unless you don't have to do the form. So just bear that in mind. Who is responsible for filing? Well, for the very first time, the Internal Revenue Service recognized that we as expats are in a different position than the people who might have to file this form living in the United States. Let's just look at 2 examples. Say you're unmarried, a domestic U.S. liver, and you have a foreign financial asset that for 1 millisecond during 2011, for 1 millisecond, actually spiked to over $75,000. But at the end of the year, December 31st, 2011, averaged out at $50,000, or all of your combined foreign financial assets combined to $50,000. Then, my friends, if you live in the United States, you are required to file Form 8938. But there's a differential involved if you live overseas. Now let's look at the top end. You're married, filing jointly. You live overseas and have been for some time. If the spike of values went up to $600,000 or more at any given fraction of a second during 2011. But at December 31st, 2011, the value of your combined foreign financial assets in any one jurisdiction, Hong Kong, or any one jurisdiction, China, was over $400,000, you're required to file the form. If the combined assets were $399,999 legitimately, if they were under $400,000, according to the regulations, you are not required to file. You want to take that chance? I don't know. Anyhow, this form is required. What exactly, though, is a foreign financial asset? There are two categories. One is very succinct and understandable. Any financial account maintained by a financial institution, a bank, a brokerage house, an insurance company, an investment fund, any financial account maintained by a financial institution, foreign financial institution, if it's an overseas account. What else is required to be reported? I'm going to read this one carefully. And one of those rare moments I actually remembered to take, let's see, does it? Figures. This morning it worked. My PowerPoint pointer does not work now. What can you do? To the extent held for investment and not held in a financial account, any stock or any securities. Your brother-in-law in China had a business that you were coerced into funding. And lo and behold, your brother-in-law, being a deadbeat all these years, struck it rich, and you have a fraction of 1% of something that's worth a bloody fortune. You're required to pick that up under Form 8938. Why are you picking this up when at the same time you're reporting this on the FUBAR form, TDF 90.22-1? Let me let you into a little secret that the IRS will not deny. They'll hedge around, but they're not going to tell you firsthand. Their computer systems don't talk to one another. You might dutifully file that TDF 90.22-1, the FUBAR report, to Detroit, Michigan. Well, Detroit, Michigan's computers can't communicate with Austin, Texas, or Charlotte, North Carolina, where you file your return, or with Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is the home of the International Division of the Internal Revenue Service. And what is the IRS going to do about that? Well, they've just duplicated the system by saying you've got to have a Form 8938 attached to your Form 1040. Another form in the long, enduring process of help make your accountant rich. Is it right? No. Is it fair? No. But if the IRS wants to fund my retirement plan funding, who the hell am I to complain? It's nice. There are some traps in this system for which you have to be aware, very much aware. You got partners in a venture overseas. You got partners who own the majority share of the business you're involved with, or the business for which you are just a stockholder, a shareholder. How are your partners going to feel when you are obligated to report the entire value of that business, of that entity, of that foreign financial asset? They're not going to like that, are they? But that is what you're required to do. And let us say that Hong Kong has specific laws saying, oh, no, 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 you can't do this. You're subject to criminal penalty if you violate our laws and reveal this to the IRS. Well, the IRS will tell you, matter of frankly, tough, you know what. You're still obligated to report. We don't care what local jurisdictions say. You have to report this, because it is not a reasonable cause for not filing and including this information if you don't report this. That's your government in action. We're Americans. We come from the land of the free, the home of the brave, and the country where you receive an IRS letter, and it's the instantaneous cure for constipation. Is it fair? Is it right? No, but that's America. What can we do about it? What if you don't file the 8938. There are penalties. If the IRS catches you, if the IRS catches you in the middle of the year for not having filed, you're stuck with a $10,000 penalty. What if your IRS return address is your brother-in-law's address in Boise, Idaho, and your brother-in-law is a nice guy, but he never really sends you any letters that you get at his address. And 7 months later, he sends you that initial IRS letter. Well, that $10,000 penalty, my friend, is the camera picking me up, or do I got to stay over there? I think I better stay over here. Well, if your brother-in-law sends you that letter, 7 months later, that $10,000 penalty is $50,000, and you're not going to beat it. What if you inadvertently, innocently understated the amount of that asset? The IRS gets a little bit tough in this respect. 40% of the underpayment is now a penalty to you. What if you intently understated? You committed fraud. You're in a case of willful neglect. 40%, it's too low. The IRS goes up to 75%. But that's not all. I sound like an infomercial now, don't I? That's not all, my friends, because the IRS can determine without any set procedures that you are also criminal and subject to criminal penalties. Will this happen? Is this happening? It is. The whole landscape of government rules, regulations, and procedures are changing. There are 7 million expat tax filers living in so many jurisdictions, originally from so many different congressional districts, that we have absolutely zero capability of throwing anybody out of office or electing anybody. We are helpless, but we are wonderful whipping boys and girls. You like that? I don't. Is there an alternative? I don't know. Move back to the States. Anybody want to do that? Not me. I'm here and I like it, and I'll always be here. Okay, here's the one I really like. What if you made an innocent mistake and you were $5,000 below the amount you should have been, and the IRS discovers that? The IRS will then automatically have the right to assess you going up for the next 6 years. Wonderful set of procedures, wonderful set of guidelines. Form 8938, brand spanking new. You've got to know a little bit about it for your own benefit. CYA, cover your rear end. Protect yourself. You might not file. You might feel, gee, this is a case of risk management and the law is so laden with ambiguities that I'm taking a liberal interpretation of the law. Don't take a liberal interpretation of the law until you understand what it is. And a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing for your own benefit. Be dangerous when you know something. Then you won't be so fearful. There are assets that don't have to be included on the 8938. Ever hear of a form 3520 or 3520A? There are some people out here who are very acquainted with that form. I know that because I'm working with them. This is foreign trust reporting. What if you are the beneficiary from a non-US person of a gift, a legitimate gift of a nice amount? Hey, we could also always be lucky and have in-laws who are wealthy. Not me, but I know people like that. And you're given a gift. You gotta report that to the government, and you're facing a 30 or 35% penalty unless you report that. Not that you're going to be taxed on that, but you're going to be penalized unless you report that. How many of you here, and you don't have to answer, I don't want anybody to commit themselves on television. How many of you here have your own business, a foreign corporation? You own more than 10% of that corporation. You're required annually to report Form 5471, U.S. person's ownership of a foreign corporation, or you have 10% or more of a partnership. You're required to report that every year on Form 8865. And you got a raspy voice. I'm required to get that glass of wine. Thank you. Back to the show. If you don't report those forms, you're subject to severe penalties. Any of you own mutual funds or investment funds, passive foreign investment corporations? There's a form out there just for you. Form 8621. Look at that form. Look at the instructions. I defy you, one and all, to look at that form and tell me what the hell it means. The instructions look like English. They sound like English. I don't know what the bleep it's telling me. I defy you. Look at that. Challenge me. Tell me I understand what it means, because I don't. How many of you out there are Canadians? Ah, we got somebody. Did you know, my dear, that you might also be an American? Whether you like it or not, that's what the U.S. government thinks you are. And there's a form out there just for you and you alone. Form 8891. That is for dual Canadian U.S. passport holders who might never have had a passport, who have absolutely no idea that they are also considered an American. There's a war out there right now brewing between the United States and Canada. You know about that, don't you? Oh, yes. It's enough to make you anti-American, isn't it? Laughter signifies approval. What can I say? Anyhow, if you have reported any of your foreign financial assets on any of these forms, A, you're not required to list them separately on the 8938. B, you are required to list them in the summary form at the bottom. And that's another one. Look at the form. It defies rational intelligence. It truly does. Has anybody out here, now I'll take a show of hands, has anybody out here ever gone to the IRS website, www.irs.gov? Not that many. What you've quickly discovered is that this is probably the most voluminous website in the world. Because it contains so much, you can't find a damn thing. Anyhow, if you go to the site, then look at the left-hand column and click on More Forms. Then go to the central section and click on Forms, All Forms and Publications. And then in the box, type Form 8938. Look at that two-page form. Look at the 10-page set of instructions. A little bit of knowledge is very beneficial for you. It's important. Truly, it is. And remember those other forms that I just mentioned before? If a foreign financial asset is required to be mentioned here and you haven't, the IRS is going to hit you with penalties perhaps even more severe than the Form 8938. Understand what the intent of the government is. A little bit of knowledge is very beneficial because you need not fear the IRS if you understand what they're heading at. I'm never going to tell you to violate the law. I don't like a lot of the laws, but the law is the law is the law. And when the laws are laden with ambiguities and you have a choice as to which procedure to follow, if you understand those procedures, follow the one that's most beneficial for you. Then you are not violating the law. Remember, a little bit of knowledge is going to be very beneficial. Don't fear the government as they would have you want to fear them. Please, don't. Okay, how many of you want a case of VD? I don't see any hands raised. The Internal Revenue Service, a couple of years ago, started their voluntary disclosure program and ended it after the first year in 2009, then it did a 2010 voluntary disclosure program, and on January 9th of this year, started their third program. As you can see in the bottom section, penalties have gone up from 20% to 27.5%. The problem with a voluntary disclosure program run by the Criminal Investigations Division of the Internal Revenue Service is that because it's criminal investigations, you are considered guilty until you prove yourself innocent, and you voluntarily have relinquished your three-year statute of limitations and opted instead to file back 8 years. No accountant or attorney is going to get in trouble for following suggested 8-year programs, and most accountants and attorneys are going to make a hell of a lot more money off of you by filing for 8 years instead of three. Read the instructions for TDF 90.22-1. You are entitled to disclose, and you should disclose, without using the voluntary disclosure program. Don't listen to the IRS threats and intimidations until such time as they take away the alternatives to which you are entitled. Take advantage of what your legal right is. Don't fear the government. Take advantage of the laws you are entitled to take. You don't want VD, I don't want VD, and the IRS virulent form of VD is an option none of us should choose unless you have fraudulently misled the government. Then consult your professional and see which way you're going to go. Nina Olson is the taxpayer advocate. She is paid by the Department of the Treasury to report each and every year what the IRS is doing and what the problems are. Let me just read her quote. "The IRS's offshore voluntary disclosure program, bait and switch, may undermine trust for the IRS and future compliance programs." Nina Olson is only wrong in one aspect. Bait and switch, the way the IRS is using it, may undermine, it has undermined the IRS. You don't have to raise your hands, but I'll bet to a man, not one person here trusts the IRS. Am I right? Okay, you know. All right, let's hear that louder without raising your hands. Am I right? Good, we got that on YouTube. Okay, I'm going to finish this up before start answering questions by telling you, if you got it, this is the year to give it. There's a $5,000 gift tax exclusion this year. Now, I don't have $5,000, but I've got a corporation that has been in existence overseas for over 20 years. And over the years, I've built up retained earnings, and I'm worth something on paper. I don't have a pot to you know what in, but I have something on paper that's worth something. This is the year for me to give it away to my kid, to avoid a gift tax or an estate tax later on.
You mean 5 million, not 5,000?
5 million, yes, thank you. Very thank you. Very, very much. If you have a retained earnings build up of $2, $3, $4 million, you're not worth that in your pocket. But according to the government, that's what you're worth. And according to the government, you die unexpectedly in 2013 or 2014, you're going to have a hefty estate tax. Give it away, at least on paper this year. Consult with your professional. This is one of those beautiful giveaways that you can take advantage of, even if you're cash poor, but you got something that the IRS considers worth something. And the last thing I'm going to tell you about is that I wrote another book, and it's a good book, and it's being sold at an absurdly low price. And there are two people here I want to thank for that. For 2 years, I was struggling with Joel Lakin to get the picture of me with the mariachi band at a promotional event he had where I got totally crocked drinking gold tequila for free. I finally got that. I had the idea, and then I presented it to Clark Mallory, who put it in cover form, for which I thank you gentlemen both. I might actually make money off of a book this year. Okay, I'm now ready to finish and answer all the questions. As I said, we're going to go through the next 10 minutes and then we got to shut off, but I'm here as long as you guys have questions, as long as you want me to answer, I'm here to answer for you. Thank you. Now I'll have some more wine before the first question.
Thank you, Larry. And who would like to ask the first question? Well, back here.
Where do you think all this goes? Having disclosing all of our overseas financial assets, even though we're already being taxed on them, implies either two things. Either there'll be a wealth tax eventually, or capital controls somehow. Is that where you think it goes?
Yes. I think there will be capital controls. I think the IRS is petrified of all the money that the citizenry has that it is unaware of. A wealth tax, I don't think anybody has the guts to propose that unless you want to assure yourself of not being elected. You know, right now we've got problems in the United States. We are citizens of a country that is in a state of denial. We could be from California. And it's open to conjecture whether California is healthier or unhealthier than Greece when it comes to its own finances. So we've got a country with financial problems.
Do you think any of the European countries that are turning out the lights on widows and so forth with these cost cuts will resort to following the U.S. example of taxing overseas income of their citizens?
No. And the reason I am not fearing FATCA and other states copying this is, let's look at something practical. When was the last time anybody here opened up a bank account in the United States? Think back. You don't have to answer. But were you asked to show anything other than either a driver's license or provide a social security number? And nobody asked you for a passport, and nobody asked you for your social security card. And I wonder if 5% of us here today even have their original social security card. I wonder how many false social security cards have been used over the years to open up bank accounts. I think the foreign banks, quite frankly, are waiting to see how the U.S. responds in 2016 and 2017 as far as providing information before the foreign banks in turn reciprocate. They want to see the U.S. comply first, and the U.S. banks are fighting this like mad, and frankly, I am not worried about deadlines because the U.S. banks are going to fight this tooth and nail.
Okay. Time for one more question. Back here, please. Randy?
Assuming that you take your assets overseas and you repatriate them to the United States, do you still have to fill out this form?
The year that you repatriate, you've still technically had assets overseas. And yes, you are responsible. But once again, going forward, no. If you have a foreign financial asset, then you are required to fill it out. But remember, if all of a sudden you become a U.S. domestic tax filer, the filing amounts are different. And right now, we are looking at a convoluted technical form that definitely takes more than an hour and 5 minutes to fill out without adequate rules, regulations, and guidelines to follow through. I expect that 10-page set of instructions to double in the next year.
What's the definition of somebody domestically in the U.S.? It's not just the 35 days thing for...
No, it's a bona fide... In order to be a legitimate overseas filer, you've got to be qualified under either the physical presence test or the bona fide residence test. The same tests involved in determining whether you fill out the form 2555, the foreign earned income exclusion. Got another question here.
One more back here.
Could you talk a little bit more about the vested interests that perpetuate and propagate the U.S. tax system? And in the context of that, there are so many professional tax organizations that I'm sure have regular dialogue and consultation with the IRS, and I'm sure some of the feedback you shared with us has been collectively given back to the IRS.
And oh, yes, it has.
That seems for naught. So could you just explain the dynamic for those of us who kind of don't understand why this is as it is?
In the early 1980s, with the first Reagan Major Tax Act, there was a marvelous book written, The Showdown at Gucci Gulch, basically about the lobbyist industry and how they single-handedly manipulated and changed the entire tax act. In an era of super PACs, in an era where the first order of politics is to be reelected, and if you're going to be reelected, you want the money. And if you want the money, you got to answer to the political action committees and vote the way they suggest. It is not your member of Congress that determines how laws are made. It is the lobbyist who determines what is done. Is that right? Is that fair? No. Money talks. That's about all I can say on that.
With that, we got one more back here, and then we'll wrap up.
People of means in Asia generally have a lot of real estate, and real estate is completely missing from this form. Is there any kind of real estate that would be considered the type of asset that has to be put on this form?
Not yet. Have I answered that specifically?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
With that, just a couple of notes. One, I noticed we have in the back somebody who's just been shortlisted for the Asia Man Prize, Yan Liang. He's back there. We'll hear in a week if he won the Man Prize. His book on censorship was censored in mainland China. Second of all, for those of you who like that small taste of Larry's harmonica playing, he's tentatively planning to be playing again tonight down in Bird's Bar.
Second set with Alan in the group.
With that, last of all, we always give you something to remember the club by. Alan was complaining he's getting too full a wardrobe of FCC paraphernalia that doesn't look like a jacket.
Yeah, it is different for a change. Let's see what it is later on. You know, after 5 years, I got 5 jackets. And you don't need them after a while.
Thank you for coming.
Now I can finish my wine.